So a man had his portrait unveiled by a prominent artist, and the man was very unhappy with the result. And so the artist asked him, he said, are you happy with this portrait? And the subject said, I don't think it does me justice. And the artist said, it's not justice you need, it's mercy. A lot of people are crying out for justice today, but what we need is mercy. We need mercy from God. And I'm going to continue the message that I started. I thought I could get through it last time, but only got through about a third of it. Deceivers, demons, and disasters. And I got another word I'm going to add to it that's a little better news than all of that. But I believe we're in the midst of receiving justice from God. Judgment is already taking place in the world. I've been around a while, 39 years, and I have not seen what I am seeing in these days. I haven't seen the stuff I've been seeing. And I believe we are in the midst of receiving justice. By the way, this slide took me 40 minutes to make. Yeah. So we're going to look at it for a while because the computer crashed. And then after I got it up again, then PowerPoint crashed. And I lost it all. I had to do it over again. So we're just going to look at it for a while. It took me 40 minutes. Miami building collapse leaves 99 people out. Delta variant of COVID, worse than ever, you know, now in Africa after a year. And check this out. Death Valley breaks record for hottest temperature on Earth. It was 130 degrees in Death Valley. Was that yesterday or day before? It just, just mind-boggling what's going on. But there's some good news in the midst of all this. And hang on, because I do have good news. But it's going to be rough for a little bit here. I believe that the epistles of 1st and 2nd Peter, which we have been in, are so relevant to us today because they are end times epistles, especially this letter. Epistle is a letter. 2nd Peter. We need to have a biblical perspective on what's going on around us. This is all biblical, you know, biblical proportions. But let's look at 2nd Peter, and we looked at this before, but we'll do it again. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber, CNN, NPR, etc. Those are your false prophets of today. The media, Hollywood, the education system, not just religion. Verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, I'm going to talk about that, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, three examples here of God's swift destruction and judgment. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And, here's the good news, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Are you not tormented these days? Then the Lord knows how to deliver, that means to save, the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So this is good news in the sense for those of you who are connected with God. So that's good. Somebody say it's good news.
But it's bad news for the world, for most of the world. And our prayer and our hope is that people turn to the Lord. But I want you to take your Bible, and I don't have my real Bible, but take your phone, your Bible, whatever, and lift it up and say this with me. And those of you online can do this too. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. And today my mind is alert. My spirit is awake. And I'm ready to receive the word of the Lord. And Lord, help Pastor Joe to keep it real simple. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So last week, here's what we got. We got put it in a chart, what Peter the apostle is saying. He's talking about three examples of swift judgment that came upon the earth and heavens. The fallen angels, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, they were judged because there was a third of them that rebelled against God. Then there was the flood way back in Noah's day. And then there was Sodom and Gomorrah, where he poured down fire on these two cities that were in a lot of sin. But there's also deliverance. We see that there were eight that were saved during the flood, Noah and seven others. And that Lot and his family were delivered, and God would not pour out judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot and his family were out. Interesting, if you notice, there's no deliverance for the fallen angels. And he's using these three examples. So the first example we have is in verse 1. It says, but there are also false prophets among the people, etc. And they are bringing in destructive heresies, denying the Lord who bought them, are bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So there are false prophets among you. He's talking about Israel's history. And I shared one story of a false prophet in the Old Testament. Actually, false prophets, where King Ahab of the northern kingdom of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of the southern kingdom of Israel. Jehoshaphat was a good king. Ahab was an evil king. And Jehoshaphat went to visit Ahab, and Ahab said, hey, I want you to go to war with me against my enemies. And Jehoshaphat, hey, I'll go with you. But let's find out what God wants us to do. Do you have any prophets? So Ahab calls all his prophets in, and they're all saying, go, go, you're going to win the battle. You're going to destroy the enemy. And they're on the payroll of the government there, so they don't want to upset King Ahab. So you're going to win the victory. Go, go. And Jehoshaphat's a little suspect, and he's like, do you not have a real prophet here? And Ahab says, yeah, but I hate him. He's always prophesying bad stuff to me. Jehoshaphat said, don't be like that. I want to hear from this guy. So he shows up, and the good prophet Micaiah says, hey, I'm going to, don't go. You're going to die. I see a vision. Everybody's scattered on the ground. You're dead, etc. And Ahab's like, see, I told you. This guy never prophesies anything good. So he decides to listen to the false prophets. And what happens? He goes out to battle. He's killed. And they lose the battle. Jehoshaphat is almost killed as well. So he had itching ears. And we are gathering around ourselves people who will tell us what we want to hear. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, which means teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. So what's happening today is we are collecting for ourselves those that our itching ears want to hear, and what the world wants to hear, those people are put up on a pedestal, and everybody else being canceled. If you're speaking the truth and you're speaking what people need to hear but maybe don't want to hear, canceled, boycott, Facebook jail. Hey, those of you online, I hope, watch this now, because this is probably going to get cut. They cut about four of our videos so far. So anyway, he says this is a sign. This is going to happen in the last days, and we're seeing that happen today. And Peter wants them to know that these false teachers bring on themselves swift destruction, verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way will be blasphemed. And by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. And I like the New Living Translation of this verse. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get a hold of your money, but God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. Just follow the money. That'll tell you what's the motive behind some of the things that we hear out there and such. But there are false cults, there are cults, there are false churches, there's all kinds of stuff, and people are falling for it because they don't know their Bible, and they're falling into these lies. And so we got to be discerning. Never ceases to amaze me. Like I joked around, but I'm joking half serious. If I was a pagan and I was evil, I would become a cult leader. Man, I'd have a couple jets and some cars and everything. People fall for it. And in the last days, it'll happen. But there's a reason why people fall for it. And this is what I want to get into here. So he said, if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, let me just stop right there. So example number one of judgment are the fallen angels. So what's this all about? Well, the reason why people are falling into deception and the reason why there is so much evil and wickedness in the world, why their judgment has to come, is there's something behind all of this. People aren't just bad. There are spiritual forces of wickedness at work. There's a whole dimension, a whole realm that is beyond the visible realm that we have. This all started with the fallen angels. Now, there's several theories as to what this means, what Peter is talking about here, about the angels being cast down to hell. But let me tell you what I believe this is. I believe this is talking about Lucifer's rebellion. The Bible doesn't tell you like where Satan came from, where Lucifer came from, like in this nice orderly way. There's like sections here in the scripture. There's a scripture here. There's a verse here. You got to put it all together. It's called systematic theology, and this is called angelology. And you got to figure out what the Bible says about this strange person, Satan, Lucifer, etc. But we have one picture in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, and it says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, this is Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head. His tail threw a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. There was this dragon that dragged with his tail a third of the stars. The stars represent angels. Lucifer was in heaven long before man was ever created, long before the earth was created or recreated, whatever your perspective is, that Satan was cast out of heaven. And we get this from a passage in Isaiah chapter 14, where it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. So, this is Lucifer's rebellion. There was a time where apparently Lucifer was one of the archangels. You got Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer, and there might have been more, but this is what we know from the Bible. And he was apparently the worship leader in heaven, and he was glorious and the most glorious being ever created by God. The Bible says that he literally had musical instruments inside his being. And so here was this glorious being, A bunch of angels started worshiping him because God made him so glorious and so beautiful and so talented and so amazing that angels began to worship him. And he starts thinking, I'm something. And he said, why can't I be God? I think I should be God. And he tricked a third of the angels, fell for it, and God had to cast him and all of them out of heaven. It says in Revelation, down to the earth. Here it says down to the pits. So which one is it? I think it's down to the pit, but on their way, they are sent down to earth. And they will eventually be sent down to the pit. So when Peter says that they are sent down to hell, that this is what he's talking about, the rebellion of Lucifer and his angels. Now, this is what happens. So they're sent down to earth. They exist. They're in another dimension. They're in the invisible realm. Sometimes they manifest themselves. They reveal themselves, even in this earth and in this dimension, in this world. And this is what's driving a lot of the insane wickedness in the world today. That's what's driving the... You're watching stuff and you're saying, how can somebody believe that? How can somebody say that? How can people be so perverse on this thing and that thing? And you're thinking, because there are spiritual forces involved. Are you with me? So there's this whole realm. And we know this from the Bible, says this. So he's thrown down to earth, but then God creates man and says, take dominion. That means we're in charge of the devil. Okay, so we have authority over the devil. God said, he put us here. The devil's already here with his angels. He put us here, and he says, go take dominion. So later, Apostle Paul says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We are in an evil day. And having done all, to stand. So there is this spiritual darkness that's in this world, and we are wrestling against that. And that's our job. And, you know, that's why we pray 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., because we're wrestling in the spirit realm, and it makes things happen. Things happen in the spirit realm when we get into the spirit realm and we wrestle. And so we can see people set free that are bound up in darkness and depression and everything else. And it just, it could be one word, be free in Jesus' name, and they're free. How many of you have experienced that, where you were just, boom, God just set you free? So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So 3 weeks ago, this comes out. Three Fridays ago. And this actually does relate. What ends up happening is that the federal government and the military and intelligence in particular says that these unidentified flying objects, or now they call them UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon, are real. That they're real. They don't know what they are, but there are aerial objects that have been observed that defy what we know of natural law. They don't have any discernible methods of propulsion, no exhaust fumes, contrails, they don't make noise. The government admits, if there's a technology involved, it's way beyond what we know of and what we know of our potential enemies on Earth. China, we aren't aware of all our intelligence, everything, that they have something like this, Russia, whatever. We just don't know anybody on Earth that has this technology. And the idea that they are extraterrestrial, which means not of this Earth, or even extra-dimensional from another dimension of space and time, that idea was not thrown out. They didn't throw it out. They didn't throw out that this could be from something somewhere other than Earth or some dimension other than the one we are aware of. They didn't say that's what it is, but they didn't throw it out. They said, we don't know what this is. We admit stuff is happening that we cannot explain. Well, look at what the Bible says. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. We used to walk according to his ways. The prince of the power of the what? The air. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. See, there's stuff working. Are you getting this? I know I prayed to make it simple, but you guys look confused. But anyway, I'm going to keep going, all right? Watch it if you can't. Watch it a few times. Watch this. This is Jesus, Luke 21. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation. He's talking about prophecy. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, pandemic, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Okay? Stuff happening in the heavens. And so this kind of stuff is biblical, and I shared the story last week about share it for those of you who weren't here, but I had a very godly grandma, Bunya. Remember Bunya? And she came from the old country, and she was what they call old believers Orthodox, which is this ultra-conservative Russian Orthodox. And she was very devout. She had her little prayer altar in her bedroom and stuff, and very godly woman. And I remember one day, back in the day before cable news and everything, Fox and CNN, all that, you just had the nightly news at 6:30. You know, ABC, NBC, CBS, Walter Cronkite, remember? And that's all you had. So our family, we were news junkies. We would have dinner at 6, and we'd all go and watch the news at 6:30, the evening news. And back around the 70s, all these UFO reports started coming out, and everybody's talking about UFOs and flying saucers and stuff. And my grandma, she's like, Grandma? She got all excited. I said, well, what are you all excited about? I asked her, what are you all, in Belarusian, what are you excited about? She goes, oh, Jesus is coming back soon. I'm like, what does that have to do with UFOs? What's that have to do with flying saucers? She says, because the angels and the demons are fighting in the air right now. And that means Jesus is coming back soon. Come on, church. Come on. My grandma was a prophet. She was a prophet. And she actually prophesied my birth. Crazy story. So that's the first example, the fallen angels. So it says, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood to the world of the ungodly. And then he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 6 says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them in destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. So example 2 of God's swift justice was Noah and the flood. And let me tell you the difference between swift and immediate. Swift is sudden. Immediate means soon. And there's a difference between swift destruction and immediate destruction. It doesn't say immediate destruction. It says swift. So swift means it comes quick. When it comes quick. But God is patient with us. He's patient with us. He will tolerate our rebellion against him. And he won't judge right away. And that's why so many of us think we can get away with stuff, because lightning doesn't strike us, you know. But when it does come, it comes swiftly. That's why we have to be ready now. This is a very strong warning message, because what's going on in the world today is like nothing I've seen before. And I don't normally preach like this, but this is where we're at in the scriptures going through Peter. So the destruction is swift, and it came to Noah and the flood. Everybody didn't expect this flood. They laughed it off. In fact, from what we understand, it never rained on the earth until that time. And then it rained and rained and flooded the earth. And so justice came quickly. And today we're seeing so many, it feels like Noah and the flood out there lately. It's just raining, raining, raining. But we got all this crazy stuff going on. That first slide that took me 40 minutes to make it. You got COVID. When do you ever remember the whole world shutting down? That is insane. And then this temperatures. Oh, it's always hot. There's always records being broken. Never in history has the West seen the heat waves they have. All these different things that are happening. UFOs suddenly being recognized by the government and stuff. It's just crazy stuff going on. And that's all warning. God's giving us an opportunity to turn. Grasshopper swarms, etc. There's this tower that fell. Now watch this. That tower fell. That's actually a sign. When the Twin Towers fell, that was a sign. We didn't listen. That was a sign. Everybody got mad when preachers started saying, this is a warning. Get right with God. The towers fell. This is a warning. People were upset. They were mad. They were canceled. They canceled those preachers. David Wilkerson and others. And this tower falls down in Florida. That's an example of swift destruction. Now, I'm not saying they were sinners. I'm going to come back to this. But that was swift destruction. They're sitting there. They're in bed. They're on their phones or whatever. And somebody didn't call them and say, you got 5 minutes to get out of the building. Or you got an hour to get out of the building. Or you got a week to get out of the building. It's going to fall down. No, it was swift. It just, bam. That's how things happen in the spirit realm. And there was actually a story in the Bible where a tower fell. And Jesus said in Luke 13:4, of those 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So he's saying, hey, the disciples are saying, hey, Jesus, what about that tower that fell? Were they really evil or something? And Jesus says, they weren't worse sinners than you. They're as bad as you guys. And unless you repent, same thing could happen to you, swift destruction. And this has been the headline of the news for 2 weeks now, or maybe more. That's the first story, the lead story, the tower down in Miami that fell. The tower. It's the first thing. It's a sign, folks. And the Lord is speaking to us. Noah was saved, and only 8 were saved. I want you to notice that. It says that Noah was saved, and he was among 8. Now, why does it point out that Noah was among 8? Peter points that out because it doesn't matter if the whole world is doing it. If it's unrepentant sin, justice will come. And the whole world is doing it. So what? The whole world will be destroyed if it doesn't turn. That's why he said there were 8. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, this is at the very end of time. We don't know how far away this is, but there's going to be such cosmic disturbances, a third of the world wiped out here, asteroids hitting the earth, plagues, insects, all kinds of stuff that the book of Revelation predicts. And even after all that, it says in Revelation 9:20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, and that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immoralities or their thefts. So after all that, they didn't turn away from the things. And I know people don't know today what's right and what's wrong. People don't know what God expects. So somebody's got to tell them. But they didn't repent of worship of demons. You know, now it's the same thing. A lot of teens, you know, they do the I'm a devil worshiper, and they just think it's real innocent and stuff. That's forbidden in the scriptures, that they endanger their souls. The worship of idols of gold, silver, brass, etc. You know, little statues that they used to worship, and they still do in some parts of the world. That's strictly forbidden by the Bible. But I'd say there's more of a worship of gold, silver, brass, and stone in terms of our love of money. They did not repent of their murders. Murder skyrocketing everywhere. I mean, just as crazy what's happening in our nation. Mass murders. Cities are being struck terribly. And they did not repent of their sexual immorality or their thefts, their sexual immorality. Hey, everybody's doing it. Everybody, whatever. God's design is if you want to be sexually active, you marry that person and you marry them for life. That's God's plan. People don't know that because the spiritual forces of wickedness are, they've got control of the media and everything. It's just anybody can do anything whenever they want, whatever. No, God's going to hold everybody accountable to these things. And they didn't repent back then. We don't repent. We double down. We get more prideful about our sins. We have pride months to be proud about our sin. And so it doesn't matter if it's only 8 in the whole world. God will save those 8. Be one of the 8. Amen. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, says, "See how God dealt with the old world. The number of offenders no more procures favor than their quality. If the sin be universal, the punishment shall likewise extend to all. If in a fruitful soil the people abound in sin, God can at once turn a fruitful land into barrenness and a well-watered country into ashes. No plans or politics can keep off judgments from a sinful people. And Facebook, if you cancel me, you won't get away with it. Put me in your jail. Better watch it." One last thing. So, Sodom and Gomorrah. And then I got good news. I know this is freaky, but hold on. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example." Where do you think the word sodomy came from? We celebrate the violation of biblical commands today. We celebrate things that, we celebrate pride when it's pride that made Lucifer rise up against God to lead the rebellion of one third of the angels. The last book before Revelation says in, it's Jude, it's called Jude. It says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh." Okay, that's strange sexuality. That's perverse sexuality. That's weird sexuality, "and set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So, where's Pastor? Give me some good news now, please. Well, here it is. Well, let me remind you that God saved Noah out of that, and God delivered Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was a righteous man. His family was in Sodom or Gomorrah, I don't remember. I think he was in Sodom. And God would not pour out his judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot got out of there. And he sent angels to go and get Lot out of that city before the fire and brimstone fell from heaven. And that's the same with us. The fire and brimstone, we are experiencing some of the cosmic things that are happening, etc. But the real bad stuff, he's not going to pour it out till we're out of here. And the Bible talks about a day when we will be resurrected and taken out of this world. They're probably going to say it was UFOs that have, you know, stolen all these people that just happened to be believers in Jesus and godly people. But I guess the UFO people wanted those. So I don't know how they're going to explain it, but we will be taken out then. The real cosmic destructions and judgment on the earth will fall. And that's what Peter's saying, that God delivered Lot out. He delivered Noah out, built an ark so he didn't have to die in the flood. And he's saying to all of us, he's saying, get on the ark. He's saying, listen to the angels that are saying, get out. I'm not saying get out of geographically, but get out of this world system. And start following Jesus, start following him. And this is what the promise in Scripture is. This is the good news. 1 Thessalonians, that's chapter 1, verse 10, tells us to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us, say delivers, delivers us from the wrath to come. So there's a wrath coming, right? But he, Jesus, delivers us. That's why we got to get in good with him. And later on in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, "For God did not appoint us," point to yourself, "God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's not God's plan for you to be go through wrath and all this judgment. He wants you to be saved. That's why we say, get saved. Be saved from that. Now, some might say, well, he's talking about heaven and hell there, not the judgments on the earth. Now, watch this. Revelation 3:10. "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." I will keep you from that hour of trial. That's why, friends, we got to get on board. We got to get on the ark. We got to get connected to Jesus. And it's not about religion. It's not about what denomination or what church you go to or whatever. It's about getting directly connected with Him, have a relationship, grow in your relationship with Him, and know. I'm confident today. I'm not freaked out by all this stuff. In fact, it's kind of fascinating to me. I'm reading my Bible. I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened yesterday. You know, it's just, it's crazy. So get in good. Get in with God. And how do you do that? And those of you watching online, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, it's so simple. It's so simple. God made it simple so He can protect you, so you can get that protection from those spiritual forces that just are deceiving so many people, throwing them into all kinds of trouble. And it's just simply recognizing the good news. The good news is this, if you've ever heard that. Have you heard the good news? Here's the good news. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, according to the Scriptures. So all the sins you ever committed, Jesus died for those so you don't have to suffer. Number two, He was buried. And number three, on the third day, He rose again from the dead. So He conquered death. He died. He paid for all our sins because He was completely perfect and righteous. Death had no hold on Him. He rose from the dead, and He was seen by many witnesses. The Bible says, if we believe that God raised Him from the dead and confess Jesus as Lord, we will be saved. You don't wait till you're perfect. Well, when I get my life together, I'll serve Jesus. You ain't ever going to get your life together. It's like those cartoons. Remember when they're trying to fix the plumbing and they plug the one hole and another hole pops out and they try to plug that one with the other finger and another hole pops out? That's our lives. But you see, God will give you some real good stuff to cover the holes with. It's called His blood that we sang about. So if you'd like to participate in communion, what's communion? We do this every second Sunday of the month. Communion is something that Jesus set up to remind us of this. And I thought, wow, what an excellent way to end this service. If you'd like to participate with us, don't do anything with it now, but there should be a little cup somewhere in front of you in your pew like this, okay? And it's bread and it's grape juice. And I'm going to read something with you. And those of you online, if you want to join with us, and this could be kind of your day and say, you know, I'm making a commitment to God. I don't have it all together. I don't understand it all. But I hear you, Pastor. I hear you. And I don't want a swift destruction. I want to be among those like Lot and Noah who were rescued before it got really bad. And so this could be your recommitment moment. Would you say this with me? And if you're a first time, this is the first time you're making a commitment, you say this with me. But everybody, even if you've already asked Jesus into your heart, into your life, you want to make sure, those of you online, you want to make sure, again, you're on the ark. You want to make sure you're delivered like Lot was. You want to make sure you're with Jesus. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I invite You into my life. You help me to become more like You. I need You. I believe You're alive. And I believe You are Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul talks about this, and then we're going to partake and close. For the Apostle Paul said this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" So we're remembering the Lord's death on the cross. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner," you know, you're just lacks about will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And there's a lot of stuff behind that I won't get into. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. But watch this. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we judge ourselves, we would not be judged because of what Jesus did. So I'm going to speak a blessing over these emblems. Take that top cellophane layer off, those of you who are here. There's a little wafer. Hold on to that. Don't do anything with it yet. Those of you online, take your little piece of bread or whatever you have. I'm going to speak the ancient Hebrew blessings over the bread that they spoke at Passover, which is what this was. We're going to believe God to touch you. Do you need a physical healing today? If anybody needs a physical healing of some kind, Jesus' body was broken so that you could be healed. There's a divine exchange that takes place. Those of you online, I'm going to believe God's going to heal you. So, the Lord spoke to me, somebody has an issue with like a deviated septum or something in their nose, and it's been a real problem with your breathing. God wants to heal that right now. Maybe it's someone in here. Someone's been having a stiffness in the back of the neck. This is just, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit saying these things. Some kind of stiffness in the back of your neck, and it kind of goes up in your head, a pain. God wants to heal that today. When we take this, believe God's going to heal you. Any lung issues right now, in Jesus' name, we're going to believe for healing. Lord, heal eyes. Lord, heal eyes, those that are having issues with their eyes. Dental work, Lord. Are you ready? Let me speak the blessing, and then we'll partake together. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotze lechem min haretz. Blessed be the Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth and has given us the bread of heaven, Jesus Messiah. Amen. Take that bread and break it as a symbol of his healing of you. Receive. Ooh, I felt that. You can take it, partake. And then those of you in here, just open up the foil part to expose the juice. Those of you at home, if you have juice, pull that out right now. Don't do anything with it yet. I'm going to speak a blessing over it, and then we'll partake together, all right? So, Lord, we thank you for this cup, which represents your blood that was shed for us to forgive us of all our sins, Lord God. We put our faith in that, and we ask your grace and forgiveness upon us now. And so, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Bore peri hagafen. Blessed be the Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine and has given us the blood of Messiah Jesus for our salvation. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know it's a strong word, but we got to be ready. Warning. Urgent. Urgent. It's getting crazier. Now they're saying you need a third vaccine. And then somebody said you're going to need them all for the rest of history of mankind. No, this is what you need. Jesus. That's what you need. I'm not saying no vaccine. I'm saying what's going to save you is not just a vaccine. It's going to be Jesus. And he can heal. He actually can heal physical ailments and diseases as well as spiritual. Would you stand? Let's close here. If you need prayer for anything or if you'd like to just pray on your own, you're welcome to come to the front here. Would you come help me out, Catherine?